We're trying to pass on during this Congress the foundations of the wisdom of Kabbalah, as you have seen in your booklet. We went over some of them. Now our conversation is about the perception of reality. The truth is that perception of reality is the most important thing and the most concealed from us. Because perception of reality depends on the creature entirely, on his attributes, on the extent of his oviut, coarseness, how fit is he to the Creator, because the perception of reality is the creature's life. We even see from this world, what does the still grasp, vegetative, living man, even amongst people, what kinds of perceptions of reality are there? Habits, something that one sees, the other doesn't, how each one is inspires and feels. Perception of reality, it depends on the coarseness of the will to receive. The still perceives this differently than the vegetative. Vegetative feels its life, feels the environment. It's even said that plants identify even a person approaching them, whether he's good or bad, meaning they have a memory whether he has ever inflicted harm upon them or not. And moreover, the living, and of course the speaking, meaning that we live in a certain reality. And all the parts of the reality, each one perceives these different parts of reality in a completely different way. And it is impossible to compare the perceptions of reality between the different degrees. Even people don't understand each other, and they belong to the same degree of perception of reality in nature. And also, among people, there's the still vegetative, animate, and speaking, these levels of development, and correspondingly, they perceive reality. But all that we talk about, we're talking about our world. And if we develop, then of course the reality that we feel, it's different. Every day we see a different world. There are people who do not develop. There are those who do. And for them, really, every day is a new world. The beast, it develops in a few weeks, and then the rest of life, it remains the same. Perception of reality, a person, he constantly develops, and therefore there is such a great difference between the young and the old. Perception of reality between men and women, between people who are in different cultures, environments. And we see that we look at the world and each one sees a different world. And the contradictions, they're vast. And one does not understand the other. All as a result of the difference in perception of reality. I see different than him, what can I do? And then correspondingly, I examine, I live, I judge myself, I arrange myself in life. He sees me differently. He sees things differently than I do. And probably that's how it's supposed to be. Or because we see that by this, through this, we reach arguments and disputes and not the right order. On behalf of science, when we wish to research perception of reality, we inquire that perception. We're researching it now for thousands of years, from the times of Aristotle and Plato, and even all the wise one before them that researched reality. They wrote a lot about it. But till recent times, we were all in a perception of reality which is called the Newton perception of reality. It's not according to Newton, but that's how it was. That was common. He thought that the world has the same form as we feel. That's it. This is how the world is. What I feel, air, walls, people, living, vegetative, stars, that's how the world is. No more, no less. This is perception of reality. I live, I have this world before me, I pass away. The world remains the way it is. It's only me who dies and everything else stays. And we actually do think that that's how it is. And in a simple, ordinary fashion, natural fashion, this is how we refer to the world. Only we're not aware how these things, to which extent they come from habit, and there is nothing real to them. And the next scientist comes and says, no, Einstein. He says, no, the world is the way we perceive it, meaning it's relative. The entire relative perception of reality, the theory of relativity, it could be from each one of the people with respect to reality. It depends on the speed with which we move in space. It depends on the vast and small masses, the gravitational forces. They can entirely change reality. The light that comes to us can pass through different circles and turns and indirectly, not like Newton thought. In short, the world could completely be different. There's no time, space, or motion that are defined the way we are built on this small speed. If we change speeds, then on the other side of the speed, we see a different world. So different that time can flow in a different direction, in the opposite direction. And the form of the world, it might not be linear, but different other forms. And here start to develop geometries, that the world has different forms, and there is no form. So, it all depends on the observing person, he who watches, looks at the world. And after thousands of years of development, Einstein has discovered this new attitude towards perception of reality. After him, 15 years after him, there comes an even different perception, which is called the Hugh Everett perception. There was such a group. One of them was named Hugh Everett, and they started to reveal, and we also see this today, that that's how it is, that perception of reality, it's not that if we move with different speeds, meaning that we change, and reality, it's there. Let's put it this way. Corresponding to Newton, there is me, the observer, and reality. Reality and I, and everything is constant. And corresponding to Einstein, reality is steady, constant, and I change. I'm the one who changes. This is according to Newton, and this is according to Einstein. And later, according to Hugh Everett, when we change, the I changes, also reality changes. Also, and I change. Both. Why? If I look at something, I make a certain change in it. I simply look at it. I refer to it consciously. You know all these things with the collider in Switzerland, with a particle accelerator. We think that by engaging it, we change some result in the universe, and suddenly there could be horrible cosmic phenomena. Or astronomers say, in general, those that are engaged in cosmology and all those, they say that the moment we look at a star, I make a change in it. It changes. It's enough that I think or I look at it and I make a change, and they feel it. They want to measure it, and something's coming out already. This is the Hugh Everett approach, and we see that this is how it happens, meaning that there is a connection between all parts of reality, so that there's no reality without man and no man without reality, meaning it is all coming down to the state about which Kabbalah speaks about. This is all corresponding to Kabbalah. Kabbalah says about reality. So here Kabbalah says that there is no reality. It's as simple as that. Reality does not exist. You can say that you change something, that there is only you. And I am the one who changes. And there is no reality. But what does exist? There is you who watches, who feels, and the entire reality is not outside of you, but inside you. A very harsh, hard approach. It's not Einstein who says that somewhere out there something's changing. It's not Hugh Everett that says that corresponding to your changes, there are also some changes on the outside. But Kabbalah says that there is no outside of, but everything is inside. But I see that you're outside me, and I'm inside. This is how anyone could say. So what happens from that point on? And here we are coming to this topic, which is called perception of reality corresponding to the wisdom of Kabbalah. The problem is that we're not used to it. We're born in a world. And the truth is that if we were born and we would have become accustomed to something else, then we would have looked at reality differently. Sometimes, and also while we study Kabbalah, we start changing a bit. The influence of the teaching, the influence of the light changes us. And we truly see that there is a different mind, different perception. There could be completely different thoughts. There could be a very different observation, the way you look at things, very differently than now. Through the study, we learn that a person could completely flip upside down in this perception, but from habit, from perception of reality, through our five bodily senses, we've become accustomed, and it extremely limits us, and it's very hard for us to get used to it. The question is, what do we need it for? Do we have to talk about it or not? The problem is not to talk about it and not to philosophize about it, but the problem is to yearn for the new state. Because by starting to think that reality depends only on my qualities, it obliges me to think then, what are my qualities? What are my attributes? How should they be? Which of them should I change? In order to what? In order to organize, arrange inside you the true, constant, eternal reality in which you truly exist without any change, and that reality is called truth. And prior to this, you live in different levels of reality, which are a lie. It's not truth. The state is untrue and the state is incomplete. Those who went through these different forms in their interchange, different kinds of perception of reality, the Kabbalists, because they discover and reveal these different forms in reality, they explain to us how to do it and what for. They say, you determine your life. Your life, if you'll now start feeling according to the new perception that everything is inside you, then the entire world which you see on the outside, and that it seems to you that if you're going to die, then the entire world remains inside you, that which is outside of you. Bring it inside yourself, and then you do not die. You don't die. The world remains inside you, and you're there, and you're included, incorporated with it, and you carry on with it. Meaning that the perception of reality, which to begin with seems as some kind of something virtual, something unrealistic, some philosophy, perception, one or another kind of perception, it becomes our life and death. Meaning that if I achieve changing my attributes, changing my perception so that all that I see on the outside now, I start digesting, perceiving, feeling it as existing on the inside, and I feel the entire whole world as my inner phenomena, this is my constant state, my eternal whole state then, and there is nothing here that changes, that is lost or dies or anything of the sort. I achieve it by bringing the perception of reality from the outside to the inside. I ascend through the 125 degrees of this perception of reality and am included in infinity, meaning that all of it is inside me. We have such a song. Everything is inside me and not outside of me. We sang it yesterday, I think. Maybe we can sing it again. Everything depends on me. Give us the song, please, could you? It's not a matter to laugh at. You have to get used to it. Well, come on, hit it. What's with them back there? Can you or can't you?
כל הפיצוצים שמתגלים, כל הבעיות והפחדים, זה בגלל שבא לי לתקן אותך, לתקן את עצמי. כל הפיצוצים שמתגלים, כל הבעיות והפחדים, זה בגלל שבא לי לתקן אותך במקום לתקן את עצמי. הכל תלוי בי ולא במה שבחוץ, הכל תלוי בי, אז מה כבר נחוץ? מנסים לחלק לחיי, לתקן את כדור הארץ, אבל הלכלוך האמיתי הוא עמוק בפנים, זה מה שגורם לסילוטים. מנסים לחלק לחם לעניים, לתקן את כדור הארץ,
everything is inside of me. Everything depends on me and not on anything outside. Everything depends on me. So what needs to happen here? Instead of looking at what's outside, it's better to take a glimpse within and see to what extent am I a human being, and not just an animal or a plant. Instead of looking at what's outside, let's have a glimpse within. To what extent am I a human being and not just an animal or a plant? So the perception of reality that is within and not outside is very important. And this is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the internality of the Torah, or the inner wisdom. Because it completely, totally talks about what is inside of us. The truth is that our bodies don't exist either. The whole matter does not exist. This is why this world is called an imaginary world. Once we start digesting these things correctly, we begin to feel that everything exists within the desire only. And our desire, in its various degrees, provides us with this feeling as if there is inanimate, vegetative, animate, and people. And these are all phenomena in the desire. It's like we're living in some matrix. It's really so. And we just have to recognize that everything is within our feeling. There is a will to receive that senses phenomena within itself. That's all. Therefore, it is extremely important for us to not forget this, because this is something that aims us towards inner correction, that everything depends on me and not on anything outside. And one judges according to his own flaws. So we should only concentrate on the inner correction. Therefore, it is forbidden to try to morally educate others. It doesn't work on any level. The only thing we can do is provide an example, set an example in a silent way towards the others, showing how much we want to achieve the goal. And we all perceive ourselves through our desires as opposed to the background of the white light. Everything is compared to the light. The world of Ein Sof is only light, complete white light. And we can't see ourselves there because we reach a state, a level of perception, qualities that are exactly like the light. And less than that, 125 degrees on the way there, are degrees of being more and more distant from the white light, and then recognizing ourselves as opposed to the background of the white light. So our desire, which is comprised of the still vegetative, animate, and speaking, those degrees, 1, 2, 3, 4 levels of youth, coarseness. So that desire, with all its different forms and shapes of our differences from the upper light, that is what we see. And these pictures are our reality. And this is how it is designed before us, in the way, the shape of this world. So our efforts to reveal the true reality, to always connect with the real, true picture, is something that forces us to improve ourselves, to correct our qualities, to see how everyone is united. And the more we connected we become, the more integrated we are with the white light. And this is how we advance towards our complete eternal life in Ein Sof. And the truth is that all these phenomena that we're going through are considered to be a dream, because in truth we only live in that white light. So this is a very fundamental point, concept in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's very important because it also detaches Kabbalah from any kind of philosophy or faith or tradition or teaching, because it says that the only thing man should correct is the desire. Your hands and legs are irrelevant. Your entire body is irrelevant. You imagine all that to be existing. Besides the desire, nothing exists. So it's only the correction of the desire compared to the white light. Baal HaSulam has a very beautiful article about the revelation and concealment of the Creator, where he explains how a person changes himself, and to the extent that he changes, he sees a reversed world. The people he thought were wise are now fools, or those he saw as healthy are now sick, and so on. How could it be that these things change? It changes because the person designs the world according to his qualities. Within me there are qualities of still vegetative, animate, and speaking, and based on that I imagine the world. We also talk a lot about the intention before and during the study, that we should always keep the intention. This is the intention, to always see myself from within and always think about how do I correct my perception of reality. A person who's always concentrated within is concerned about his self inner correction, and he's not getting tempted by all kinds of external things. Besides dissemination, by which he awakens the parts that seem to him as external, to also join his internality. All that I see outside of me, as if thousands of people are sitting before me now. It's not before me, it's my desires. It's my qualities, the parts of my soul. Because each of us has a point in the heart, and all the others that seem to be outside, and all that one will discover in the upper light, are parts of his soul. Besides that spark that I was given, that initial desire to begin this work with it, all the rest that I see outside, foreign to me, it's all my soul. It's my kli. To the extent that I attach that kli to my internality, just like that spark, to that extent that I turn that externality into internality, I reveal the spiritual world in that kli. Many people yesterday asked, when is it going to happen? When it'll happen? When we want at least this part of humanity, my friends, that seem to me as outside of me, when they will be as important to me, as close to me, as connected to me as myself. to some minimal extent. They don't need to be 100% connected. But if we somewhat want this kind of unity, then our extent of equivalence with the light will be felt as a spiritual reality. And a spiritual reality is called an interior reality. We learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah that any higher patsuf is a more internal patsuf. And lower patsufim are more external clothings. And what traverses inside is the light of Ein Sof. And on it are the patsufim of Galgalta, Ab, Sag, and so on and so forth. The more we long within, the more we go inwards, the closer we are to the light. Accordingly, we can see how different methods are closer or farther from the truth. The more internal a method is, the closer it is, it could be, to the truth. The more external it is, the farther it is from speaking about the true perception of reality. There's a lot to say about it. Perhaps we should go over to some text from the Zohar, or to that Baal HaSulam article? Zohar, okay. So we are opening the convention booklet, item 215. This is an article called Form and Measures, from the chapter about perception of reality. In the English booklet, this is page 27. Page 27 in the English booklet, item 215. And should one say that it is written, "For you saw no manner of image," so how can we specify letters and names in him? He will reply to him that this image that I have seen is as it is written, and he beholds the image of the Lord, which means the Sfira of Malchut, and not any other image that he created and formed in the letters. This is so because the Sfira of Malchut is the root of all the receivers and the Kelim vessels, but not the first nine Sfirot, which are devoid of any form. We learn that from Binah, through Zeranpin, comes the light to the Sfira of Malchut. Malchut is called Knesset Israel, the gathering of Israel, meaning that it gathers all the souls of Israel. That's why it's called Knesset, gathering, like our convention, or gathering. So all the souls which want to bond, to unite, according to their desire, although they don't understand what is Malchut and all this, doesn't matter. But they are separate souls, broken souls. Separate or broken means the same thing. And when they wish to unite, to the extent they wish to unite, this signifies some connection. You know it from math. So, to the extent they wish to bond, they build a masach in Malchut. Why? Because on top of their ego, when each relinquishes the ego and wants the inner connection with everyone, by that we build a masach, screen. And then, to the extent that we have a masach, to the extent that it is strong and big, we see a picture on it. It is called the image of the Creator. Why? Because the Anpin is called Bore, Bore, come and see. Why? Because I came to the connection with the souls, and therefore I see. What am I seeing? Because this is light. What can I see in this light? I can see in the light my attitude towards it. How different we still are. And this contrast, one against the other, is what provides me with the picture. And that is the picture of the world. What we're seeing now, too, is only the difference, the gap between us and the light. Only we don't yet identify that this is what it is, that this is the difference. When we achieve connection between us, then there is a difference, a contrast between the connection we did attain and the light, what we cannot attain, and then based on that thickness, the image is felt. Then I begin to feel how similar I am, how different I am. This is where I begin to have attainment and understanding of the Creator. That is how we achieve the true perception of reality. And because of this, is why he said, to whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal? And to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? Item 216. And even with this image in Malchut is not in the place of Malchut, but only when the light of Malchut descends and expands to the creatures to rule over them. Then it appears to each of them according to their image and vision and imagination with respect to the receivers, not with respect to Malchut herself. As it's written, the more they become integrated in Malchut, only to that extent they can see. As it's written, and through the prophets I gave parables. These things are not so far from us. I'm telling you, this thing is in our reach, literally. If we pay attention to this, if we focus on this, work on this, in a short time, a few months, we can achieve a state where we begin to identify, to detect it. And it becomes apparent, it becomes clearer from within the connection between us. We will still talk about how we will continue the connection between us and strengthen it, and then this picture will become clearer. 217. This is why the Creator tells them, although I appear to you in your forms, in vision and imagination, still, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal? After all, before the Creator created an image in the world, and before he drew a form, the Creator was alone in the world, shapeless and imageless, meaning that the upper light was abstracted. Just like the Ari writes, before the creatures were created and the emanations emanated, there was a simple, abstract upper light without any beginning or end, and so on. And one who attains him prior to the degree of Bria, which is Binah, still outside of any form, is forbidden to make a form and likeness in the world. Not in the letter He, not in the letter Yod, or even to call him by the holy name, or by any letter or point. Meaning, why is it forbidden to imagine, to draw some images? Why is it forbidden to think that the Creator has some image? Because the upper light has no image. You have to reach a state where it is abstract completely, so that you will become the same. All the forms you do see are coming from your uncorrected state, your broken state. from the fact that you still have desires, intentions, and actions that are egoistic. Once you correct yourself, you have no form. Everything is the white light. It is written, "For you saw no manner of image," meaning you did not see anything that has an image or similitude. We once had a nice song about Gmar Tikkun, the final correction. No, we don't have it anymore? Oren says, we don't have it, but we can just try to sing it. No, we don't have it, Ron, huh? It's many years in the past. Well, try to look for it. We'll continue in the meantime.
But after he had made that form of the chariot of the upper Adam, he descended and clothed there. And he is named in it in the shape of the four letters of Ayam. He wants to say that when the Creator created the worlds, he has created this tough, rigid framework, realistic one, in the upper light. He has arranged the degrees, he has arranged the parts, the paltzufim, the sfirot, in order for us to have a perception so that to some extent we'll have something by which we can climb in order to gradually reach the abstract light. And when we reach from the five worlds, from our worlds, the world of Asiya, Yetzira, Briya, Tzilut, Adam Kadmon, and Itzof, then all the worlds behind us, they're like a carpet. They fold and they roll, and we ascend with the worlds, and all the worlds disappear. Therefore, it's called world, olam, from the word ha'alama, disappearing, meaning that afterwards they disappear and no longer exist, because all this the Creator has created. He has arranged in the upper light some kind of a black net in which we will simply find the different degrees and states in order for it to be easier for us to find our way around. But after we finish the correction and we ascend to Ein Sof, then this entire net, this entire scheme disappears. It's swallowed into the light. The ten sfirot kachabtum. So he will be attained through his qualities, which are the sfirot, in each and every quality. And he is called God. O God, I will be the Lord of hosts. So he will be known in each quality, how he leads the world with mercy and with judgment, according to people's actions. And had he not spread his light over all creations, how would they know him? And how would the whole earth, is full of his glory, come true? Therefore we have many names, but actually all the names. Table, chair, friend, enemy, lover, regardless. These are names by which I actually call my own attributes upon the white light, meaning all the names are names of the manifestation of the Creator in my desire. Therefore, everything are eventually names of the Creator till we reach the true names. The ten true names, the unerasable names, and then they also disappear inside the white light. Woe unto one who resembles him to any quality and to even one of his qualities, and all the more so to people which are inferior kelim. But the imagination that we imagine is according to his dominion over that quality, and even according to his dominion over all creations, and there is no similitude above that quality. And when his dominion departs, one has no measure, no likeness, and no form of that quality. Maybe we'll go to some other passage. Our next passage is on page 13. It's item 15, also in perception of reality. This world is the world of imagination. So it's page 24 in your booklet, item 15, perception of reality. When the Creator said unto Moses, "Make the tabernacle," Moses was bewildered. He did not know what to do. Tabernacle is the very place where the souls bond. That is the place where the light reaches and is called dwelling. It can dwell there and fulfill the desires, the light that fulfills the desires. The place where it fulfills them, this is actually our desire that we build as a result of the connection between us like parts of Lego. So that place is called tabernacle. He did not know what to do until the Creator vividly showed him, as it is written, "And see and make them after their pattern, which is being shown to you in the mountain." A person himself, he can't connect to others. Only, as it says, man and woman, divinity between them. Only the upper light can make the connection between us. Therefore, when we yearn to be friends, we forget about the upper component. We talked about it yesterday during our conversation about the state of Kabbalah, last generation, how different revolutionaries wanted to bond before us, and Russia and the kibbutz, and even before that. Without the upper power, it's impossible. Of course, it's unrealistic to bond. And only by the upper light, yes, we can bond and achieve truly. How to put it, to incorporate in the upper light without any difference, and nothing's felt besides that white light. This is actually the true reality, which we must fullness and perfection. It's all up to us. So let's continue. Sure, otherwise they'll say that we didn't read any Zohar. Okay, so item 15. In their pattern, it's the middle of item 15, means that the Creator showed Moses everything in its higher spiritual shape, and each of the spiritual shapes above was making its shape similar to the fictitious shape that was made below on earth. This is how Moses knew the desire, meaning there's a difference, and we'll come to it, that you'll feel the gap between what seems to me and the gap between what is shown to me from above, these two forms, and then it is obvious what to do. How it clears up. We didn't learn this together, the Chab de Elyon, the Chab of the Upper. How's it called? The participation of the attribute of mercy in the judgment. Meaning that I'm on some degree and there is in me a higher degree. I am in the desires of my bestowal, and here are my desires to receive. If I cancel my desire to receive, they're called achap, and I work only with my desire to bestow, which are called galgal dandanaim, and I wish to cling on to the upper. So I feel that the upper is really next to me. How do I feel it? He shows me the extent of his bestowal. But how does he show it to me? That he is higher than me. He shows it to me that as darkness, because I feel myself being in the light, in the quality of bestowal, but it's my bestowal. Bestowal number one. And he shows me a much greater bestowal. And to give myself up to such an extent, to love the others to such an extent, to take the others into consideration to such an extent, connect them to myself, and to think that both these and those, he and those, are parts of my soul that I have to connect together, and then I'm incapable of doing it. This is how the upper shows itself. But nonetheless, in me, a picture is revealed, a gap between that which is the upper and what I am. It is revealed on condition that I'm capable of bearing it, that I'm capable of accepting this darkness as there is no choice. This is also something that I must come to reach a state that to begin with, immediately I have a rejection towards it. No. And afterwards, the ability to cleave on through the reforming light, a person nonetheless, he accepts, receives this form, and then he cleaves on to it, exists in it. And he reaches it, the upper lifts it to, he lifts him to his Galgalta Enenayim, to his true bestowal. And then a person, he truly receives darkness, the attribute, a higher attribute of bestowal as an example. And so he advances. It is impossible to overcome, to accept this light as something desirable if there is no group standing behind you. Impossible. This is the thing that we're achieving now, that for the first time we're bonding this way in Israel. It's really, truly a means to go through the entire darkness. And this is how Moses knew, item 16, which is being shown to you in the mountain, the mirror that does not shine, Malchut, was showing him within her all the manners and forms that are being done below. Item 17, it is written, which is being shown to you, you is the mirror that does not shine, Malchut, which showed him within her all these forms, and Moses saw each of them in its corrected form as one who sees within a crystal lamp, within a mirror that shows all the forms. Moses is that part of ours that draws us forwards. It exists in each and every one of us. He explains to us how do we achieve the true perception of reality by such mirrors, by such depictions which are revealed. And when Moses gazed upon them, he found them perplexing, since there in Malchut everything stood in its spiritual form. But each more bestowal than one can take. But each form equalized its shape to the fictitious shape in this world, in the tabernacle. It turns out that two forms were apparent, the spiritual one and the fictitious one. The current one is fictitious, and the spiritual one is more bestowal than one can take. And this is how a person advances. What can I tell you? The true form will not be revealed to us unless we'll be ready for it. You don't put an obstacle before a blind man. This is a spiritual law. What for? When I give a child something, I bring a game that's suited for him, that could advance him to the next degree by which he could advance, that he could understand. Not something that he can't perceive at all, which is not suited, fit for his age. He has no interest in it. He has to understand that, yes, he can and he wants, and it's suited for him. Same with us. If we prepare ourselves by the teaching, by such a connection between us, then what shall be revealed? Darkness. Darkness will be revealed. And afterwards we'll have to overcome it, and it will turn into light. I anticipate cries. I'll tell you why. Because we've bonded here, we performed tremendous work, groups from all over Israel, also yesterday during the cultural event, their performances were excellent. They did great work. Also, our friends from overseas that watched, really, they supported us. immensely. And this brings us to a new degree that is accepted to begin with as darkness. This is what we need. We don't want it. To bond between ourselves, to see bestowals, spirituality as bestowal, it's something unappealing. After the hard work, after a good preparation, you'll start feeling it. Where can we see this? Purim. We're headed towards the holidays of Purim, and it says, after Mordechai did a big favor for the king after they wanted to murder the king, he revealed the plot, and it came to the king. He heard about it, and the king, he killed Biktan and Teresh. I don't want to simply name names, but he killed those that wanted to kill him. What did he do then? He didn't do anything to Mordechai. He didn't give him neither a medal, nor did he bring him to, did he put him on some high position. But what did he do? The king, he enlarged Haman. Haman is against the Mordechai, man's ego, the great will to receive. He put him as head of ministers and tell him, do whatever you feel like. If you want, please kill all the Jews, all those who yearn for bonding, go and kill them. I have no problem about it whatsoever. I won't stand in your way. Look what happened. Because we can advance only by the ego, only by our will to receive. And so don't wait. Don't think that it will be easy. I'm telling you, the wisdom of Kabbalah is a very unpleasant path because we're working against our will to receive. There are states of bonding, of love, of tremendous connection and revelation of the Creator. And between these states, there is climbing degrees through obstacles where we feel a hardship, lack of interest, suddenly depression, bad mood. And this is the place for exertion. This is the place of work. Precisely in these states do we have to know how to connect amongst us, how to nonetheless be bonded, how to help each other. And this can start tomorrow. After good work, it can start and should start. And then there has to be tremendous happiness about it. Bala Sulam says, I'm happy for those obstacles, for those evil things that are revealed, because precisely by them do we ascend. There are a lot of articles about it in Kabbalah and in the Zohar, that the entire happiness revealed through the bonding, later it brings a person to the revelation of the next degree of the ego, another layer and another layer. Because inside us, we're actually in the middle. It's called the Noga shell. Klipat Noga. We're in the middle, in between. Here we have the will, the ego, the corrupt desire. And here's me. I took a small step with my point in the heart towards spirituality. Immediately, I'm being lowered. What does it mean that I'm being lowered? An additional layer of the will to receive is opened before me in order for me to correct it. I can ascend with that desire. I have achieved a certain spiritual degree. Once again, I'm being lowered further into the will to receive. Ever more darkness, helplessness, rejection from everyone. Once again, I elevate myself. And again, I'm being lowered, even lower, until I finish my entire will to receive. always after an ascent, a descent, ascent, descent. It says so, from Zion will come Torah. Zion, Zion in Hebrew, means Yetziot, exits. As a result of the fall, the immersing into the world to receive, once again we reach the Torah, the light. And only this way. And therefore, we have to thoroughly understand this. When a bad state comes to a person, darkness, despair, heaviness, you can't do anything about that. It's as much as you prepare yourself, it's only like whoop, this black cloud comes down upon you and you have no idea what to do. Kabbalists, they wrote many things about this. I remember the Rabash. He barely stood. He could barely get up from bed. He used to come into his living room, close the door, and dance. He used to dance. And he had no strength whatsoever, and he had this state and feeling, and he could say, la 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 la. At the age of 80, a person, what degrees he went through. It says about the Baal Shem Tov that he disconnected to an extent to which he didn't even know how to read Hebrew. Such an extent that there is this blindness that comes upon you. So we have to understand that through the power of the group, through the daily study, and it doesn't matter, I can sit like a fool with big eyes gazing at the screen, and regardless, whatever I hear, I hear, whatever I see, precise hours from this hour to that hour on a regular basis, constancy at the lessons, dissemination. Whoever engages in it, it saves him. In those times, there was no such thing. I can't study. I can't do anything. Disseminate. Go do something. Hand out something. A few minutes, half an hour of such work. You went through this hard state, this depression. Yeshivat Chavirim. We'll talk about it. We'll have Yeshivat Chavirim, the same we have on Sundays, Yeshivat Chavirim for the whole world. Kli. We'll have a Yeshivat Chavirim for Israel. We'll meet together once a week for us to have a steady hour. I think that we talked about maybe doing it to the end. Well, Saturday night, it's the best time in Israel. You know that now we've also rented another building next to us, and there will be a place for women, for children, for the physical learning centers, for the different activities of our community, our extended community. You're invited there to be the landlords. Please come. We'll have circles. We'll have different things. It's all intended for you. And we need to further arrange meetings, such meetings. So let's plan to meet from time to time, maybe not in this hall, maybe in a smaller hall, but it doesn't matter for us to have such meetings on a regular basis. Why am I saying this? Later you hear this from the organizers, all these things elaborately. But a person, he has to constantly feel that next to him there are people. Although that during the time of descent, he doesn't want anyone. He hates everyone. He doesn't want anyone next to him. But this is exactly what saves him, what brings him quickly out of the situation. Like someone unconscious, he's ill. Only others could help him. And it says about this in many articles written by Kabbalists. That's it. That's what we need, connection to others and dissemination and the study on a regular daily basis and such meetings. Say once a month on Yeshivat Chavirim, once a week. This way, if a person, he enters for sure that each and every time he advances, and the Rabash says something beautiful about it. In the article, one shall help his friend, Rabash said that one can help the other by seeing that the other is in a state of baseness. As it says, that a person can't set himself free from prison, but it is his friend who could give him a good mood, meaning that his friend lifts him from a state in which he is to a state of a good mood, a mood of life. Once again, he starts to achieve certainty and security in life and happiness and joy, and he feels as if his goal is close to him once again. This is the whole thing about the temple. It is a home, a kli that we build as a result of the bonding between the souls in which we feel the presence of the Creator. Therefore, it's called a home of sanctity, a house of sanctity. Sanctity means reciprocal bestowal to the extent to which it exists. There we discover the Creator. This is the term. And we have something about the temple. Maybe we'll read it and afterwards we'll find our quote. You see the example that he sets. Something happened, or what? Gili? Maybe let's start with questions and answers, and we'll find that quote in a sec. Please come up here, whoever wants to ask, next to the ushers. Whoever will receive permission to ask, ask loudly and clearly into the mic. Hello. I wanted to thank each and every one for you teaching me how to become Adam, a man. And a bit to aim me, I felt that I couldn't lift a finger for someone else if it's not in order to receive a reward, meaning without coming out of the ego. Is this my evil inclination? Thank you. The evil inclination means that which is revealed and the breaking of the general soul, meaning that once there was a connection between the souls and that connection broke. Therefore, all that has to do with the connection between the souls, this is called the evil inclination, meaning that if we will now go and correct ourselves, bond with each other, it's not called an evil inclination. We will not reveal the evil inclination. Evil inclination means that we were together, you, me, and all the others, and the Creator, the Light, He connected between us. He connected between us, meaning this connection here is the Creator. Bore, come and see. So this is me, and this is you, and this is He, and the Creator in between us. This is what broke. Therefore, this connection that broke, it means that the Creator has left, He disappeared, He's concealed. We have to reveal Him. The wisdom of Kabbalah, it is a method for the revelation of the Creator to His creatures in this world, meaning in what we are in now. Meaning you and I, we have to bond between ourselves, despite the ego which is found amongst us as a result of the breaking. And that ego equals the Creator that once used to connect us. You and I wish together. We need to want together for the Creator to return and dwell amongst us. You hear? Not that we simply bond between ourselves, but we want the Creator to dwell amongst us, between us. This is the goal. The entire desire against this is called the evil inclination or a shell. Again, the entire desire or any desire which is against the bonding between the us, against the Creator revealing between us. There have to be these three parameters: you, I, and the Creator together. And then whatever stands in the way of this is called the evil inclination. There is this beautiful quote about the temple. It says the destruction of sanctity. A person has to pray for the destruction of the temple. The sanctity is the discernment of destruction, is in lowness. and no one pays attention to this lowness, that sanctity is on the ground and you have to raise it from its lowness. But a person, he needn't ask of the Lord to bring him closer to him, because this is freshness on behalf of man, because how is he more important than the others? Whereas when he prays for the majority, for the generality, which is called the Malchut, the assembly of Israel, the assembly of souls to ascend, then the Creator will lighten its darkness, and then nonetheless all of Israel will ascend in degree, and also the person asking, which is also included in the generality. I wanted to ask about perception of reality. From what I understand is that actually the entire world is all the people, it's something existing inside me. So my question is divided into two. A, if I look at all the people or any phenomenon, I'll succeed in changing my attitude and including it inside myself and understanding that it's Him. Is this the inner work that leads to advancement? Yes, says Rav. And the other question is, can I depend on the light to help me advance, actually to achieve correction?
After many attempts, we reach a state where we realize and see that only the light is capable of correcting our perception of reality. Yes. Without it, on my own, I can't do a thing. What does it mean, me? The desire is only living because the light sustains it, corrects it, changes it, enlivens it. So our work is not to let the light do what it does naturally. This is called the path of suffering, how it transforms the desire in its way. Rather, we want to force the light to do this in a faster, more directed, focused way. Dear Rav, about a month ago in a morning lesson, I said that I think that Nebuch are great ones, and as a small one, I asked to ask help. Now I don't think that they are Nebuch are great. I think that they are huge, and in that state, when I felt a descent, I felt disintegrated, fell left on the ground. And then I felt a friend, Amikam, he told me that I received a great gift in that state. In this convention, I feel completely disintegrated, but I'm like floating because everyone is holding me up. I want to see, know if this is all imaginary or spiritual. Well, we should recommend maybe later we will advertise it. First of all these lessons will and already are posted on my blog, and we should add recommended material in addition to the lessons, like those articles of Rabash and Baal Sulam, and then through the reading, you will exactly clarify these states and advance forward. Yes. Oren, please write it down to yourself. Yes. I wanted to say first, thank you for this great convention and preparation for Purim holiday, and I wanted to ask about the method of studying Kabbalah. Something that it requires a person to keep as if an inner dictionary, because everything that is read has to go through some inverted translation like ascent and descent. Descent could be is actually a good thing, and ascent can be a bad thing. And this follows all the way until the final correction, and it's like the revelation of the scroll of Esther, which means the scroll of concealment and so on. I wanted to know, why is this planted in the method? It's a beautiful thing, but what is the purpose of this? It is because we're opposite to the light, and therefore everything that is light in spirituality is darkness for us. Bestowal in spirituality is the highest, most exalted thing. And for us, for me, in my egoistic desire, bestowal is something bad, repulsive, unpleasant, that I need to look for fuel, motivation to allow me to bestow. Why do I need it? What does it give me? If it gives me a greater reward than loss, meaning that I'll have some energy to do an act of bestowal, then where do I take this energy from? I need to receive in exchange some power, honor, some sort of pleasure that will at least cover for that action of bestowal. Otherwise, my body, my matter, will not let me do it. Therefore, we are opposite to spirituality. Those in spirituality, it's like a perpetual mobile engine. It's like working out of without any need for fuel, because bestowal becomes the reward. I bestow upon others and it gives me pleasure. Here in this world, when I give, I feel that it empties me. Why am I doing this? I have to find some justification for it. It's our nature. I can't do anything about it. It's a law. And therefore, that dictionary, as you're saying, you're correct. It's opposite in terms of bestowal and reception. It's an inverse importance. Once we ask the light to correct us, to the extent it does correct us, we become able to bestow, and then bestowal becomes the reward. Hello, Rav. If the whole world is inside of me, and there's nothing outside, then who are you, Rav Lightman? You won't believe me. It's some virtual imagination. It doesn't exist. You and the others as well. With respect to each and every one, the Creator is playing a game. There's nothing here. The Creator presents Himself towards me in some way so that I relate to others in a way that allows me to learn what bestowal is. When you turn to me as Rav Lightman, I personally don't identify with this character at all. I'm telling you seriously. It's like there is some sculpture, some puppet that the Creator designed towards people, and that puppet has to play a role. And I am me, the real me. I'm not it really. I'm like on the side, and this role is being carried out. So who are you asking about? I'm basically asking, where does all the upper information come to me from? Yes, the information comes through me because I'm like the conveyor here, the connector, but the information itself comes from above. It's just the order of the structure of the conveyance, and through you other souls receive also. It's like a tree, a structure where each soul is connected to other souls and so on. So you and I met on the way. In the meantime, you receive through me, others will receive through you, and later it will come in return. There's also feedback you bestow upon the upper ones. You influence the upper ones like me, and I'm connected to my teacher through his soul. It reaches me, and so on and so forth, until it reaches Adam HaRishon. He was the first to create this connection with the Creator, until the last person that will complete the correction, and then we all unite in one whole system. So don't relate to any individual here. I'm not an individual here, and we just have to relate to the Creator. And the Creator bestows upon us through the Kabbalists, Baal HaSulam, Rabash, or even if it is through me. The main thing is that you receive from the Creator, and this is how you advance. Hello, and thank you for everything. Thanks to everyone. My name is Matania from the Arava group. There's a question that bothers me a lot. How am I supposed to include the rapists and murderers and pedophiles within me too? I don't want to. The question is, how can she include murderers, rapists, those inside of me? I don't want to do it. I'm sorry, but these are your qualities. What can we do? Hello, Rav. It's a great privilege to be here. I have a question. What we think, we're also here in corporeality with you, and all of us are together, and I wanted to know about the source of our spontaneous thoughts and the connection to our desires. How do we relate to this? How do we take control over our desires eventually? Those emerging thoughts. The question is correct. The thought is incorrect. You can't take control over anything. You have no connection to that control. You have no way to control. You only have to think about one thing. How do I belong myself to the light, to bestowal, to connection with others in order to reveal the Creator? That one thing. Whatever thoughts that emerge in me, bad or good, they're all good. They're all on the way. They're all to the goal. If you aim yourself to the goal. Don't filter any thought. Don't look at some thought as desired or not. If you aim yourself to connect with others in order to reveal the Creator, then any thought, the worst thought, is to the point, is to the goal. They need to emerge, and with them, you'll continue towards the goal. Thank you. Please, yes, please. Hello, dear Rev. My name is Lydia. I live in France. And I have a bit of a weird question. When in a group, this group, any other group, two people are arguing and they know that it can reach bad situations, everyone thinks internally that he's right in his perception and that the other one is not right. Okay, what's your question? The question is, how, in my perception of reality, what am I supposed to do with this? Should I go into the argument? Should I try to separate between those arguing, or what? Or it's actually my problem? The answer is simple. An argument can be only to the point with regards to matters of dissemination. What each and everyone thinks is better. That can happen in the group not arguing about anything else. If we're building something, and I think that it's better to build it this way, he thinks that it's better to build it that way, then there are issues that need to be solved. We need to organize some management or to go to a third party to make the choice. But again, this does not hurt the connection between us in the society at all. There is a factory work that we do, and there is a social work that we do. In the factory, there is a manager, there is a worker. The manager can shout at the worker. The worker works. It doesn't matter whether he's paid the money or not. For instance, let's say people, our friends, come to this to our center after they finish their corporeal work, and they have their dissemination work. They translate, they write articles, whatever, and they work like workers and managers, regardless of being friends. Or, for instance, organizing a convention like this. There is someone who manages it, and there is someone who follows the instruction, and there are no arguments. I keep quiet and do what I'm told. I can recommend things, but eventually I do what I'm told. And then the more I subjugate myself to the structure, the more I benefit. In the group, though, we're all equal. There is no argument, and there can't be if we all aim towards loving each other. So the whole problem is that you don't make the difference between the factory and the group. In the group, there is only love. In the factory, there can be arguments to the point, like in any workplace. Hello, Rav. One thing bothered me in understanding perception of reality. It is that in Genesis, it is said that the world was created before man. So how could it be that man controls reality if reality was created before him? This is what we learned, that the worlds were created first. And through the worlds, man was created. Look, what is it written? At first, the Creator created heaven and earth, which means Bina and Malchut, and the land was full of chaos, meaning that there was no evolution in the world to receive yet, and then started the degrees of still vegetative, animate, and the speaking level only in what's called the sixth day, meaning after the sixth Sfirot of Zeranpin, then came Adam. He's the last, because the entire system was created first, the system of connection between the Creator and the future man that is to be created. So that system has to precede man. After that system, by the system, man is created, because the light has to be diminished and take on a certain form through which the man can emerge. And the man that emerges is already included in and is comprised of the system by which he was created. And he can then use that system to climb through it to Ein Sof. This is a simple thing. If you'll start studying in the campus, you'll see. Yes. Hello. I wanted to ask, when we study the articles of Rabash and Baal HaSulam together with you, it's one big pleasure, and it's easy to study, and we don't get tired. But in a Zohar lesson, for instance, in a live lesson, a Zohar lesson, it could be very exhausting. Should we, aim our intentions differently? This is excellent. It is written that the Torah exhausts the person's strength. So this is good. It is written that the Torah weakens the person a lot. The light that influences you weakens you. And I don't really weaken you. That's what it is, what this is. Hello, Rav. Based on the lecture about perception of reality, I wanted you to clarify the work of faith above reason. Yes, perception of reality can only be above reason, because our reason is how to perceive reality here and now through our egoistic will to receive, and the correct perception of reality is above reason, meaning that we rise above the reason through which we perceive reality, our five senses, and be above it. Yeah, this is what it is. So above reason means the correct, the true perception of reality. Hello. I'd like to ask a question. Maybe it'll be a bit jumbled, but I'll start. You spoke about the new building that Bnei Baruch is renting for children and activities and so on. I'm asking whether isn't it time in the worldwide Bnei Baruch women's structure, isn't it time for us women to establish it like women know how to create how to build a home, you know, because only women can do it. It's not up to the men. The men, they don't care about how to organize a home. They know how to build something like this or something like that. Isn't it time for us as women to aspire for and build this building as fast as possible, so that the strength of our men and women will be utilized in a smarter way and not jumbled. You know, the men do this, do that. It's hard to go up the stairs and so on. Lady, look. If this was in my power, I would give you this building and tell you do what you want. Let's hope that someday it'll happen. But unfortunately, this is what we have. And we are really, you know, and everyone, I think, know where we are. And we cannot keep a better building because the money that we're using for dissemination is used very wisely. You know how we can't spend it on the aesthetics of the building. And you heard of how much the TV channel costs us. And now we have to sign contracts of, for instance, just in the internet world, we have to invest now, for instance, something around 2 million shekels just to build the infrastructure we need, because otherwise we won't be able to do this worldwide later. In short, there's problems. And we think that the situation we live in is okay. We bear with it. We got used to it, too. So it's not so horrible. Now, with regards to women, there will be a new building. And there you can make... you can put carpets and decorate it as much as you want, and maybe you'll even invite us to come. We'll be happy. So in a month you'll get it. Yeah. Hello, Rav. My question is, how do I know that I am connected with the others, that I now, once a person starts loving the others, he reveals the Creator, because the Creator equals man's connection with others. If one makes that connection, that is called Creator. If there is a connection between you and others, you discover that connection as the Creator, the quality of bestowal in you. This is called Bore, come and see, Creator, because the Creator is the inclusive force of bestowal that lies within reality. So you reveal it. You cannot love the others without revealing the Creator, or vice versa. If I am asked, did you reveal the Creator, and I said, yes, I loved another human being, is that correct? No. How did you reveal him? This is one thing. Second thing, why should someone ask you? I'm not talking about these things with anyone else. If I ask myself, no, you didn't reveal it. So this is exactly the question. When it happens, you know. When it happens, you will know. If this is still a question, then it wouldn't be a question. Yes, last question, please. Hello, my name is Adi, and I would like to ask a question that is both individual and collective. I'm teaching people about guided imagination for 24 years, and it's all about how a person improves his ability. Yeah, if you can just speak slower and separate the words so Rav Lightman can, so we all can listen. Yeah, I'm asking whether I'm not corrupting people when I'm actually teaching people about egoism, about demanding more for themselves instead of bestowing upon others, or it is okay to give people some strength to, so they see that there is confidence. And look, I don't know your method, and it doesn't matter what you do. By doing that, you can't corrupt people or bring them farther from bestowal with all your guided imagination or any other methods. All of these methods are within the ego, and all you're teaching them is perhaps how to use their qualities better or anything like that. It does not disturb their advancement in the wisdom of Kabbalah. You can keep doing that, and in general, nothing disturbs the wisdom of Kabbalah. A person can be religious, secular, married or not married. He can do all kinds of things. He can maintain his methods or whatever. The light corrects the person. If a person begins to have the revelation, the awakening of the point in the heart, then he reaches it. And that's it. And it doesn't matter what methods he practiced before. He comes and begins and starts the path. Thank you. And thank you for the privilege of being here. Well, dear Rav, I never spoke before 500 people, more, of course, not even 5,000 people, so there's a special power here that I feel. I'm from Modi'in, and the government decided that this city is called the City of Future. And I don't see a future, we're talking about perception of reality, I don't see a future without Kabbalah. So how can you help me establish a group in the city of Modi'in? We certainly need to start a very big job, work of establishing many groups in Israel now. We just established a new place, a new center in Eilat. In Ria too, okay. Yeah, in the whole world, if you ask me. And of course, in the here in Israel, it's the first priority. So, yes, of course, this is something we should do. And what can I tell you? Call our friends. Who? Who's in charge of that? Shimon. But let's just Shimon, come on, in short. 6774. Call him, or just call the 1-700 number that we have. He sits exactly next to the women who answer that phone, and he's in charge of opening all those study groups or centers in Israel, and we'll be happy to help with whatever we can, and we want these things to happen. And there are we will come and we will give lessons to every study group. And we will also be able to broadcast to the world from there, and so on. We'll be happy to do this. Yes, I think we have some people in Modi'in, from Modi'in. Well, let's conclude with that. And as usual, those who didn't buy a gift yet to give to others, do it, and I can sign it if you want. I'm asking again and again, when else do you have the opportunity to come and do this? Of course, we have the special costs here too. We want to use this to do a real hit in dissemination. Tell them about what they can purchase. I'm going there. I don't know. Tell me what else to do in order to accelerate dissemination. Join us. do it. Let's do it together. Thank you.
Sydney Green.